Turn into your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 21. 1 Kings chapter 21, verses 1 through 3 is going to be our text this morning. We're going to talk about a message on godly heritages and inheritances, since the theme is called to remembrance. And the song fits so beautifully here this morning. I've entitled the message, Don't Sell the Vineyard. Don't sell the vineyard. 1 Kings chapter 21, verses 1 through 3. And it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spoke unto Naboth, saying, Give me thine vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house, and I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it. Or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. And Naboth said to Ahab, The Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. Notice verse 3. That is really our text this morning, where Naboth said to Ahab, The Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. That's a passage that I've read over and over again, but never really noticed that last phrase there. Lord forbid it that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. Let's pray. Father, we ask your blessing upon your word this morning. I pray that everyone here would not sell the vineyard, the things that have been passed on to them, the truths that have been passed on to them from their family, from their fathers before them. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. There was a family with two sons. The dad had a great deal of confidence in the younger son. Immediately upon request, dad divided his living between the two boys. He felt that the son had the talent and the desire to make it good. The boy was praiseworthy, trustworthy, upright, industrious, and worthy of the father's trust. The boy loved his father and respected him a great deal. But he was curious about the outside world. And there's nothing wrong with that. But along the way, this boy got trapped. I will tell you how his story ends up later on in the message this morning. But you know what I believe? I believe that few fathers and mothers comprehend the far-reaching potential and responsibility which they have in raising up the foundation of many godly generations. And this can be done by passing on a valuable heritage to them. And once we have gotten this heritage, we should not sell it, we should not trade it, we should not lose it, we should not give it away. There are some valuable things that we inherit. Many of you don't know much about me. I come from a family that left me a valuable heritage. Although my mom and dad were divorced when I was just a baby, and I really only remember seeing my father one time when I was about 7 years old, I still have a godly heritage because I was raised by my mother and I was raised by my grandparents who were godly Christian people. In fact, they are the ones that started the Assembly of God Church in Union Grove, Wisconsin, where I grew up. One day my grandfather was sick with hepatitis. And there was a pastor who was coming to the area, but he really wanted to start a church in Burlington, which was about 10 or 11 miles away from Union Grove. And he had felt the call to pioneer a work. Well, he had learned that my grandpa was sick, and Brother Zerby, Pastor Zerby, I don't know if any of you old-timers remember him or not. Pastor Zerby himself was so sick that he could barely move, and yet he came to visit my grandfather. And when he climbed the stairs to my grandfather's bedroom, he was simply exhausted. And he laid himself on the bed next to my grandfather and prayed for my grandfather to be healed. And wouldn't you know it, The moment he prayed, my grandfather was completely restored. And that was the beginning of a start of a church in Union Grove. The church has on the cornerstone the year 1961. That was the year that I was born. So I have a godly heritage that I am very proud of today. As I was growing up in Union Grove, everybody knew my grandpa. He was well thought of. Oh, he had a few problems. You know, he'd go downtown to pick up some things at the grocery store and start talking with people and come home without what he went for. But he was well liked. And I remember when I was 17, 18 years old, and I wanted my first loan for a car, and I went to the bank, and I had no trouble borrowing the money, even though I had never borrowed before. I had no trouble borrowing the money because I was the grandson of Orson Harrison Clayton Hobart. So I have a very valuable heritage that I thank God for today. And you know, some of you have a godly heritage that you need to thank God for today too. God has invested in you, and people have invested in you, and you have valuable assets because of your family. I would like to mention just three valuable assets that you have this morning. There are others, and I would really like to work up this message into something really solid and substantial. But I have a few thoughts that I'd like to share with you this morning. One of the most valuable assets, the most valuable asset is a good name. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 1 says, "A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold." A good name is the byproduct of consistently demonstrating godly character. And if you have a good name today, maybe that good name was a result of others who consistently lived and demonstrated godly character. Do you know that a good name is gained by many actions and it's lost by just one action? Just one thing could cause you to lose a good name, or just one thing that you do could cause your family to lose its good name. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. I want to encourage you not to give that inheritance away. You should not throw the heritage of a good name away. Because like Ahab, Satan would like you to trade it or to sell it. How would you like to trade a good name for a famous name? You know, that's what Satan does all the time. He comes and he sees you have this vineyard of a good name. And he says, you know, I want you to trade that good name. I want you to trade that vineyard. And in return for the good name, I'll give you a famous name. Don't take the trade. Or some people say, I've got this vineyard. And Satan says, I want to buy the vineyard from you. I will buy your good name and I'll give you great riches. Don't do it. Do not do it. Do not sell the vineyard. A good name is more important than getting a lot of money. Proverbs 15:6 says, "In the house of the righteous is much treasure, but in the revenues of the wicked is trouble." And the favor of God is more valuable than money. An interesting story in the book of Mark. Here is a gal by the name of Mary coming to Jesus one day with very expensive perfume and anointing Jesus with this perfume and washing his feet with her tears. Scripture says, "And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she broke the box and poured it on his head. And then Jesus said, 'Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her.'" Her name would be remembered, and we remember the name of Mary, and we remember this because God thought it was important enough to put it in his word for all generations to remember. The favor of God is more important than great riches. Listen, if you have a good name today, if you've inherited a good name, don't let Satan come and trade the vineyard for it. Don't let him come and take away that good name. Or whatever it costs you, don't sell it. Keep it. Don't sell the good name. But hang on to it. It's a great asset that you have been given. Another asset is basic life teachings. The basic life teachings that have been taught to you are great assets. God commands fathers to accept the responsibility of teaching their children and their grandchildren. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 9. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thine heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. And then Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 7 and says, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. The basic life teachings that you have been given are the Christian heritage of that. And we must learn these teachings that our fathers and that our grandfathers want to teach us and pass on to us. And not just to learn them, but then to become actively involved in the contest between good and evil, between God's truth and Satan's deception. May we never give this inheritance away. May we never think that the words, the principles that have been taught us are no longer important or no longer apply to us. Satan would love to have you trade those principles and those teachings for the philosophies of this world. Don't do it. He would love to have you trade this vineyard of your inheritance, of your heritage, for the things that this world would have to offer. We should not give this inheritance away. We should not sell it. Proverbs 3, 13 through 15 says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared to her. Proverbs 3, 18 says, she is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. That keeps her, doesn't sell the vineyard, but holds dearly to it. Now, Satan wants to get you to trade this inheritance, basic life teachings. He offers you a trade. The trade is things. I don't have time to go into that this morning, and I will at a later time, but I want you to know that he will offer you things, the vineyard of things, in exchange for the vineyard of basic life teachings. I'll tell you, it's a bad trade if you trade it. You'll make a terrible mistake if you trade those principles, that vineyard of principles and teachings that have been passed on to you, young people that have been passed upon on you from your fathers and maybe even your grandfathers. It'd be a terrible mistake to trade them off. Don't sell the vineyard. And one final asset that you have been given, that we receive by way of inheritance, is wise investments. Wise investments. The most important investments that a man can make for his future are in the lives of his family and in the spiritual welfare of others. He may invest in his family marketable skills, resources to profitably use those skills and other things to assist his children. He may invest in functional assets such as land and equipment. That's what Naboth's father did. He invested in a vineyard. And again, let me remind you, don't trade the vineyard. Don't trade the investments that people have made in you. You know, there have been people that have poured their lives into you. There have been Sunday school teachers, there have been pastors, there have been Christian workers. There have been people in your church, in your life, that have poured their life into you. Your parents have invested in you, have heavily invested in you. And you know what? You need to ask yourself, the investment my parents made in my life, Did it turn out to be a good investment for them? Was all that they poured into me, all the time that they gave me, all the resources that they gave me, all the principles that they taught me, was that a wise investment for my parents? Have I made them proud? Have I made it? Have I lived so in such a way that my parents would say it was worth it to invest in the life of my children? Don't trade the vineyard. Don't trade the investments that people have made in you. Don't sell the vineyard. God teaches us many lessons throughout inheritances in the Bible, and someday we're going to look at that. But I want to close by drawing your attention to the story at the beginning. Remember the boy at the beginning of the message. His father gave him his inheritance. And the boy went out to discover the outside world. Along the way, the boy discovered vultures. There are people out there that can pick innocent people clean. They take advantage of those who are innocent and pure, and they pick them clean. Young people, the outside world is exciting, but it's a maze of turns and a jungle of threats. It's a wicked world that devours that portion of goods that you bring from a good home. I've known a lot of good young people, who left home and saw that the goods that they brought from home devoured, stolen, tricked into selling the vineyards, into giving them up. The boy in our story got trapped. He thought seducers were saints. He thought that the farther he plunged, the greater hero he was. He was easily convinced that there was the get-rich-quick magic. This boy had never experienced want at home. He thought his substance would last forever. It was a new experience for him, and a devastating one. In the end, it cost him everything. Self-respect, peace of mind, faith in people. It cost him everything except his life. Please listen to me this morning, because this is a story that repeats itself over and over and over again. That's why it's in the Bible. It's the story of the prodigal son. And there are still prodigal sons and daughters. They come from good Christian homes, but they never valued the heritage like they should have. They got out in the world and they sold the vineyard, or they traded it for something else. Thank God the prodigal son in the Bible got homesick and came home. It doesn't work that way for everyone, however. There are young people who are always confident that they can play the game smarter than the previous generation. What happens? They spend their inheritance. They sell the vineyard. There are things that will drain you and drain you and drain you and drain you until you have spent all. Please don't trade the vineyard of your inheritance. Please don't trade the vineyard of your heritage. Don't trade it for anything, because whatever it is that Satan offers you, it would still not be worth the trade. Hang on to the assets. Hang on to the vineyard. Don't trade it. Don't sell it. It's worth more than any amount of money that could ever be offered to you. Could I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning? This is a call to remembrance. To remember the godly heritage. I realize that there may be some here this morning, you don't have a godly heritage. But you can start here and leave a godly heritage and inheritance for your children, your grandchildren. You have the potential to leave them with valuable assets. All of us have the potential to leave the next generation with a good name, with basic life teachings, and with wise investments. And so I'm asking for a commitment in two ways this morning. The first way is for those of us who are older. I want you to commit to leave a godly heritage, to leave behind them a godly heritage. And the other commitment I would like is for you to not sell the heritage. You would not trade it in, but you would value it. That you would see it as priceless. And that no matter what Satan offers, realize that it's a deception. You're not going to sell, you're not going to trade, but you'll keep the vineyard. You'll keep the heritage. How many here would say, you're part of the older gang. With God's help, I'm going to leave behind a godly heritage that my children and grandchildren could have a day of remembrance. I'm going to leave behind them a family vineyard. Could I see your hand? Amen. Thank you. Now, the younger generation here this morning, how many of you would make this commitment? I will not trade. I will not sell the vineyard. I'll hang on to the good name. I'll cherish the life teachings that have been taught to me. And I'll make those proud who have invested in my life. Could I see your hand? Praise God. Lord, we are thankful today for the illustrations that we have in the Bible. We thank you for Timothy's mother and grandmother, how it caused the heart of Paul to rejoice when he remembered their faith. Lord, my heart is rejoicing, as I'm sure others are today, when we remember the faith of our fathers and our grandfathers and our mothers and our grandmothers. We thank you for the godly heritage that they have left us. We thank you for those precious inheritances. And Lord, with your help, we will do our best to do the same for our children and grandchildren. That we would leave a good name, that we would leave basic life teachings, that we would leave wise investments. And then I pray for those that have made this commitment today to not sell the vineyard, no matter what. Lord, help them to remember this commitment as they go through life, and help them, Lord, to hang on to it. Lord, that they would never trade it, that they would never sell it. And Lord, if there is a prodigal here today, I pray, Lord, that they would come to their senses, that they would be homesick, and they would go home. Lord, to not turn away the heritage or the inheritance. Lord, that they would not waste it all before they realize that sin drains of everything. May they escape today with their lives and with their salvation. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we are privileged to bring into membership my son, Benjamin Mannon. And we have others that would like to join. I received some cards Wednesday night and also even this morning. And we will be receiving more members at a later date. But Ben was able to get his in, and we had a chance to review his. So I'm going to ask Benjamin to come forward, and I'm going to ask the deacon board to come and join us here up front, please. Ben is an associate member. Associate members have to be 13 years of age or older. And when they become 18, they become adult members. And we also have two, Kyle Lewis and Joshua Mannon, if they would just stand. They are moving up from associate member status to adult member status because they have both turned 18. The scripture says, For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. As we talk about the church, we realize that the Bible really refers to three different things. The church can be this building, or any building where people gather together to worship the Lord. The church can also be the worldwide group of believers, everybody who has received Jesus Christ as their Savior. They become a part of his church. This is a church not made with stones, made up of his body. The church can also be, as the Bible refers to, a local group of believers. And that is the case that we have here today. Benjamin has already been a part of the greater body of Christ, the worldwide body. And now he seeks to be a part of this local body, this part of this local church. The scriptures teach us that the church is the household of God, the body of which Christ is the head, and that it is the design of the gospel to bring together in one all who are in Christ. One of my favorite Bible passages is actually found in the book of Psalms, where it says, God setteth the solitary in families. That's what we have here. It's the body of Christ, but we are family, part of the family of God. The fellowship of the church is the communion that its members enjoy one with another. The ends of this fellowship are the maintenance of sound doctrine and of the ordinance of Christian worship, and the exercise of that power of godly admonition and discipline which Christ has committed to his church for the promotion of holiness. Its more particular duties are to promote peace and unity, to bear one another's burdens, to prevent each other's stumbling, to seek the intimacy of friendly society among themselves, to continue steadfast in the faith and worship of the gospel, and to pray for and sympathize with each other. Among its privileges are peculiar incitements to holiness from hearing God's word, and sharing in Christ's ordinances, and being placed under the watchful care of pastors, and the enjoyment of the blessings which are promised only to those who are of the household of faith. It is into this holy relationship that Benjamin enters today. Now, those of you that are not members, I'd still like to consider myself your pastor, and this church is yours. Although there is a special bond that is hard to describe to those who actually belong and become members of Christ's body. I know from time to time I've had difficulty sometimes in getting a word from the Lord and counseling somebody who is a non-member. But for some reason or another, when people are members, God gives a certain amount of extra wisdom or grace that is needed. And so I would encourage you to join yourselves with us. But if you don't want to, that's fine. I'm still your pastor if you want me to be. All right? I'm going to do something a little bit different here today. I don't ever remember doing this before. I'm going to have all those that are members, would you please stand? And you probably took a charge when you entered into membership. And what I'm going to do this morning, I'm going to charge Benjamin along with charging you again. It's good to be reminded of these charges that we should commit ourselves to. First of all, this is just for Ben, though. Ben, I charge you to maintain and to strive for personal devotions and to seek the salvation of the lost and to walk circumspectly in the world, avoiding the very appearance of evil, and refuse to have any part in tale-bearing or backbiting, and seek that love that thinketh no evil. And then all of the members here today, and even if you're not a member, I would still like to present you with this charge, that by the aid of the Holy Spirit, you would walk together in Christian love, to strive for the advancement of this church, to strive for holiness and knowledge, to promote the church's prosperity and spirituality, to sustain its worship, doctrines, and discipline, and to contribute cheerfully and regularly to the support of the ministries and activities of the church. I charge you to watch over one another in brotherly love, to remember each other in prayer, to aid each other in distress and sickness, to be courteous and forgiving one to another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Benjamin has met the requirements for associate membership, and so we would joyfully bring him into membership today. And I'm going to ask the deacons to lay hands upon him and for Pastor Craig to pray over him, please. And then, Pastor Craig, would you also remember Kyle and Joshua as they become adult members?
God, we just thank you for Benjamin and his willingness to continue in this godly heritage that you have put him in. Lord, we thank you for his willingness to take that step forward and become a member of this church. Lord, that the rest of us could use him as an example for being a young age, but yet willing to be obedient in the things that you have asked us to do. We just pray, Lord, and thank you for that willingness and that he desires to be a part of this family. Lord, we are grateful for that. We thank you for Josh and Kyle for their willingness to continue in that next step and to become adult members. Lord, we just pray that each one would become involved in the way that you desire to be them involved in this church and their willingness to serve you. In Jesus' name, amen.
And now, Ben, we extend to you the right hand of fellowship.
Keep what we heard today on our hearts and our minds. Lord, that we would be diligent to maintain that heritage that you have given us. Lord, that we would draw close to you. And Lord, as an older person here, that I would be diligent to pass on that heritage to my children. And they would be quick to pick it up. Father, be with us. Be with us today. Be with us through the week. Bring us back safely next Sunday. Amen.